Well, there are less than 2 weeks until the end of this year's general session of the Utah Legislature. Lawmakers sprinting to get their bills to the finish line. On the phone with me, I have KPCW reporter Emily Means with this update. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Leslie.
So let's start on Friday. Utah's long-awaited tax reform bill, sponsored by District 54 Representative Tim Quinn, who represents those of us living in Wasatch County and the city limits of Park City, received its first hearing at the House Revenue and Taxation Committee. How was that received?
So, Leslie, just in case listeners haven't been following along, the most basic way to understand this bill is that it will lower the sales tax rate and broaden the base of services that are taxed. And this is to put more money into the general fund, which funds everything other than education. So, very basic explainer, but this bill was the only one on the agenda for the House Revenue and Taxation Committee on Friday, and they really took their time with it. I mean, it was almost a 2.5 hour hearing, and Quinn fielded questions from the committee, but there were a lot of people there, representing their businesses, representing different industries, newly taxed industries and businesses. And the theme of the hearing was really, look at all the unintended consequences of this bill. You know, this is how this bill will negatively impact me as a business owner, or will negatively impact my customers. And, you know, the House Speaker even delayed House floor time to accommodate comments from more members of the public. They maybe had about an hour to have everyone comment. But I think one of the interesting items that was mentioned was a representative from Zions Bank, who works with different municipalities on their sales tax bonds, said that this could impact the bonds that Park City is trying to sell for affordable housing. So I reached out to Assistant City Manager Matt Dias last week when I heard that during the hearing. I haven't confirmed yet, but I think he's referring to the $32 million sales tax revenue bond that the council approved in January. And $22 million of that is going towards the Woodside Park Phase 2 affordable housing project. So the representative from Zions Bank said they weren't sure what the lower rates would mean for these different municipalities, including Park City. And, you know, he suggested that the state delay the sales tax cuts at the local level. So I'll follow up on that with the city and see kind of where they're at. Park City is aligning themselves with the League of Cities and Towns on this bill, you know, letting them take the lead on it. But anyway, so, you know, the first half of the session was really focused on Medicaid and SB 96, but the rest of this session is really going to focus on this tax bill because, you know, they want to pass it by the end of the session, which is not this Thursday, but the next Thursday. So, we're going to do some more reporting on this. Hopefully I'll have a bit of a better explainer so people can actually understand what this bill is. But it's a big bill, and it will have far-reaching impact.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that the goal is to set aside the rainy day fund as well before another economic recession. I mean, that's kind of the thinking here, huh?
Right. And, you know, we don't know when that will happen. But I was reading some op-eds from people who would know about these sorts of things. Natalie Gochner at the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute at the U. She was saying that it's a good idea to, strengthen these funds before a crisis happens. So we have a $1 billion surplus this year in the legislature. They think it's a good time to do it.
And a lot of lobbyists to deal with here and angry professionals. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all kind of sorts itself out.
Leslie, Representative Quinn didn't really budge on any of these things when, you know, there was lobbyist after lobbyist testifying during this hearing. So he feels like it pretty evenly spreads the pain across the industries. And so I don't know how much the bill will change by the time the session ends.
Okay. I know you're working on following a number of bills, but let's talk briefly about House Bill 411. This is the Community Renewable Energy Act. I'm talking with Lisa Yoder from Summit County here in the next interview about this. But can you kind of explain what this bill does and why we need it for the city and county to meet its net energy goals?
Yeah, well, you know, Park City has taken the lead on this bill, and they've been working with Summit County, like you know, as well as Salt Lake City, Rocky Mountain Power, and a number of state regulators. So this is the Community Renewable Energy Act, and it really is Park City's goal of going to 100% renewable energy by 2030 in legislative form. So this bill would just help communities that want to participate in this effort by, you know, working with Rocky Mountain Power as the electric utility in the state, main electric utility in the state. And so, you know, any city or county that wants to work towards that goal can sign on to this and adopt a resolution saying they're working towards this goal by the end of this year and are hoping to, you know, meet that goal by 2030. So customers of the utility can choose not to participate as well. So no one is forced to use electricity that is only, you know, from solar or wind. But, you know, this is very close to the end of the session. So Park City Sustainability Manager Luke Carton said, we're not entirely sure how far it'll get. But, you know, it's definitely a possibility for the next session as well.
Okay. And then finally, House Bill 320. This is the ban that would, on the plastic bag ban. It was expected to be heard, but it's been circled. So we'll hear it maybe this week later?
Probably. So there are a lot of bills that are trying to work their way through the legislature. Representative Logan Wild actually moved to circle this bill last Friday. So, you know, I'll check and see if it's going to be heard today during House floor time, but I'm not entirely sure. We'll see where it gets.
Okay. KPCW reporter Emily Means, thank you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Well, Summit County's sustainability efforts were featured in the Business View magazine with a large story in the February-March edition. In the studio with details, I have Summit County Sustainability Coordinator Lisa Yoder. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So what is Business View, and how did this reporter know about Summit County's efforts?
Business View magazine, it's an online magazine, and they contacted me. They were focusing on counties around the country and somehow found our information on through a web search, I believe, and contacted me.
Okay. So the story is about, part of the story, I should say, is about Summit County's resolution to transition its businesses, residents, and county operations to clean, renewable electrical energy by 2032. So how are we doing so far?
Well, as you mentioned previously with your legislative court reporter, the Community Renewable Energy Bill is in front of the legislature this week, and that will be that is the biggest piece of that transition.
Yeah, so why do you need that bill? What is it going to do for you?
That enables the community, that enables Rocky Mountain Power to work through a process by which they would acquire the amount of renewable energy needed for the communities participating. Through a process that's governed and regulated by the Public Service Commission, a process that does not currently exist.
So the process is, it's a process, or is it actually Rocky Mountain Power going out and building the solar panels or the geothermal facilities or the wind facilities?
It's a process where solicitations would be obtained by private developers as well as Rocky Mountain Power. So it sets a fair process for competition between solicitors who want to build it and Rocky Mountain Power. So whatever gives the best and most fair price and the best transmission connection would be enabled through this process.
So if you don't get this bill passed, what does that mean for your efforts to be net, you know, zero emissions?
Well, we'll still work on that. What it means to me is that we would find out what the opposition was and why, and we would work in the next year to figure to resolve those issues and come back again. We need to be able to have that scale of power be enabled. It advances the effort probably by decades. We envision a utility, many utilities are going towards renewables as coal and natural gas are more expensive than renewables that are coming down in price. So this assists in making that transition maybe sooner. So it's essential, but if it has to be put off a year, then, I mean, there's nothing we can do except work with that and improve our bill for next time.
Yeah. So is there some sense out there, though, that this is, like, unfair to other communities, that maybe Park City and Salt Lake are getting a...
No, it's absolutely not unfair. We've worked very hard to make it a fair process, where primarily what makes it fair is the Public Service Commission, who regulates the entire process that Rocky Mountain Power will have to go through if this is passed. So this is enabling us to put the process and rulemaking in the Public Service Commission's hands, whose responsibility is to make it fair for everyone. Those communities who do not want to participate don't have to, and the rates that would be set by the commission are required to be such that they do not pass any costs on to other non-participating customers.
Okay, and then other communities would be eligible to join in?
Yes, they would have until the end of the year. Everybody who wants to participate has this year to opt in to participate. And then if they want to participate, then the utility aggregates that amount of power for the communities, goes out and does acquisition and requests for proposals, and determines the rate. And then the cities have to adopt an ordinance saying they will participate and all their customers are in. And then the customers are given the rate that they will be paid, will have to pay for the utility and give the opportunity to opt out. So they will have a good, solid idea of the price and plenty of opportunity to opt out if those members of the community do not wish to participate.
Yeah. Park City decided to move its goal up to 2030, basically, I think, in time for the Olympics, should we get them. What about Summit County? Are you talking about...
If this bill is passed, we will do that, too. Yeah, it's just 2 years sooner than our current resolution. I'm sure we will.
Okay. What else are you working on?
Oh, as that article said, we've got primarily... First thing is energy efficiency in our buildings and with the community through Summit Community Power Works, the SCPW Challenge, which is a web application that people can participate in. It's a competition in that communities can or individuals can participate and go to the website and find all these different energy efficiency actions they can take, from low cost, no cost, to, you know, expensive. So reducing energy consumption is the first step. Then switching to renewable energy where possible. The county just installed two solar systems, and we're looking at one for the Public Works building. That would probably be the last renewable solar system we'll put on that's appropriate for our buildings. And we're putting in a lot of EV chargers. We've got 11 going in this year and 11 level 2 dual chargers and one more fast charger at four different facilities, and we're putting EV chargers in at the park and ride lots.
Okay, so are those, again, the county's paying for the electricity, or are we going to charge people to plug in?
Initially, the county pays for the electricity. You have to realize, on a level 2 charger, that amounts to about $120 a year. If we do charge for those chargers, they will get used less. There's empirical evidence that shows you have to find the sweet spot between not charging and charging for charging for charging. We don't want to discourage people by charging, and it's a nominal fee. The benefits we gain by that are no tailpipe emissions, so it's a trade-off. We're willing to pay, at least for the time being, and then we're putting in smart chargers so that at any time the council elects to charge a fee, we can enact the fee at the charger. So we have that option down the road.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention, Lisa?
I would just encourage people to take the SCPW Challenge. Go to scpwchallenge.org and look at all the cool things you can do to reduce your energy costs, improve your comfort, and help us reduce emissions.
Okay. Lisa Yoder, the U.S. ski and snowboard season winding down, and in the studio with a look at some of the accomplishments from the past week, I've got team spokesman Tom Webb. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So, Michaela Schifrin, I guess no surprise, but three in a row for overall?
Yeah, that's three World Cup titles now on the trot. She's she still actually has an opportunity to win more globes, so she's still in the chase for the Super G title and for giant slalom. So, yeah, an amazing season, still going, but will be capped off, we hope, at the World Cup finals in Andorra. It's been a rather tricky last week or so with weather conditions out in Sochi, Russia, playing havoc with the schedule. But we've also seen a pretty good, pretty strong end to the season for the men as well. So local man Steve Nyman, he led three Americans into the top 15 at the World Cup event over in Norway. And Travis Ganong, he's actually just equaled his second best ever result. He finished fifth in the Super G. So I'm pleased with that. I also want to look back. Leslie, you and I talked a while ago about development and about who's coming through. Our junior team at the World Championships had an outstanding event there. River Radamus, who a lot of people will know from the slopes around here, he had an incredible event. So he is now a junior world champion again, multiple medals. And we're really pleased with that. It's a sign that the pathway is looking pretty strong for the future. So I think that was a really strong result for us. The season is coming to an end. On the freestyle side, we had some good success. Ashley Caldwell, previous world champion in aerials, she finished with a couple of podiums at an event in China. And then Jaylen Kauth, she finishes the mogul season in second place overall. Jaylen won't be particularly happy with that second place, but I think, you know, it's another very strong end to the season for that team. In cross country, we've just wrapped up the World Cross Country Championships in Seefeld, Austria. Quite a lot of controversy going out there with some athletes caught doping, including one particularly dopey athlete caught with literally with an IV in his arm, which is an astonishing piece of news. But I think on behalf of US Ski and Snowboard, we're extremely pleased to see that sort of offence being uncovered. But Jessie Diggins, yeah, she finished just off the podium in fourth place in the 30K freestyle there. And she now heads back to Europe pretty shortly to finish off the season in Quebec City. And we're working on some really exciting plans with Jessie and her previous teammate, Keegan Randall, to keep highlighting the success that the cross-country team is having, building on that gold medal from Sochi, from Pyeongchang 2018.
Yeah.
And then finally, in snowboard, we have some history. I have to confess, I don't really understand the technical nature of this history, but Maddie Mastro, she landed the first ever double crippler in women's halfpipe competition. If somebody can explain what that means to me, then I will gladly listen to that. But I have much cleverer, more experienced people who really understand the true impact of that. But Maddie finishing incredibly strongly this season. So she also beat teammate Chloe Kim, who did suffer an ankle injury. But that's the first time Chloe's lost since pre-2018 Olympic Games. So Maddie's pretty happy with that. Red Girard, a 2018 gold medalist as well. He won the Burton US Open. Young man, still below 20 years of age, just couldn't believe he'd won one of his favorite events. So he was pretty pleased with that. And then Lindsay Jacobellis, who finished the World Championships here with another World Championship title. She's put herself in contention to win another FIS Globe. She has one more round of the Snowboard Cross event to come. And she is now tied with Eva Samkova from the Czech Republic, having finished third at the last Snowboard Cross event in Spain. So really strong results coming all round. When we finish the season, we're going to put out some numbers about the amount of podiums our athletes have won this season. And I think we're all pretty excited to see how we stack up against some of the competition out there. It's been a really good season. And I think not just at elite level, but also at that grassroots development level, looking ahead to the future.
Okay, so we'll see you next week.
We will see you next week.
Tom Webb, thank you.